Scene 4. Marley appears downstage left in single spotlight. A storm brews. Thunder and lightning. Scrooge and Present fly past upstage. The storm continues furiously, and now and again Scrooge and Present will zip past in their travels. Marley will speak straight out to the audience.
The ghost of Christmas Present, my co-worker in this attempt to turn a miser, flies about now with that very miser, Scrooge, from street to street, and he points out party-goers on their way to Christmas parties. If one were to judge from the numbers of people on their way to friendly gatherings, one might think that no one was left at home to give anyone welcome. But that's not the case, is it? Every home is expecting company, and...
He laughs.
Scrooge is amazed.
Scrooge and Present zip past again. The lights fade up around them. We are in the nephew's home, in the living room. Present and Scrooge stand watching the nephew, Fred and his wife, fixing the fire.
What is this place? We've moved from the mines.
You do not recognize them?
It is my nephew, and the one he married.
Marley waves his hand, and there is a lightning flash. He disappears.
It strikes me as so funny to think of what he said, that Christmas was a humbug as I live. He believed it.
More shame for him, Fred.
Well, he's a comical old fellow, that's the truth.
I have no patience with him.
Oh, I have. I am sorry for him. I couldn't be angry with him if I tried. Who suffers by his ill whims? Himself, always.
It's me they talk of, isn't it, Spirit?
Here, wife, consider this. Uncle Scrooge takes it into his head to dislike us, and he won't come and dine with us. What's the consequence?
Oh, you're sweet to say what I think you're about to say too, Fred.
What's the consequence? He don't lose much of a dinner by it, I can tell you that.
Oh, Fred! Indeed, I think he loses a very good dinner. Ask my sisters or your bachelor friend. Topper, ask any of them. They'll tell you what old Scrooge your uncle missed. A dandy meal.
Well, that's something of a relief, wife. Glad to hear it.
He hugs his wife. They laugh. They kiss.
The truth is, he misses much yet. I mean to give him the same chance every year, whether he likes it or not, for I pity him. Nay, he is my only uncle, and I feel for the old miser. But I tell you, wife, I see my dear and perfect mother's face on his own weazened cheeks and brow. Brother and sister they were, and I cannot erase that from each view of him I take.
I understand what you say, Fred, and I am with you in your yearly asking, but he will never accept, you know. He never will.
Well, true, wife. Uncle may rail at Christmas till he dies. I think I shook him some with my visit yesterday. I refused to grow angry, no matter how nasty he became. It was he who grew angry, wife.
What he says is true, Spirit.
Bah, humbug!
Embracing his wife.
There is much laughter in our marriage, wife. It pleases me. You please me.
And you please me, Fred. You are a good man.
They embrace.
Come now, we must have a look at the meal. Our guests will soon arrive. My sisters, Topper.
A toast first.
He hands her a glass.
A toast to Uncle Scrooge.
Fills their glasses.
A toast to him?
Uncle Scrooge has given us plenty of merriment. I am sure, and it would be ungrateful not to drink to his health. And I say, Uncle Scrooge!
You're a proper loon, Fred, and I'm a proper wife to you.
She raises her glass.
Uncle Scrooge!
They drink, they embrace, they kiss.
Spirit, please, make me visible. Make me audible. I want to talk with my nephew and my niece.
Calls out to them. The lights that light the room and Fred and wife fade out. Scrooge and Present are alone, spotlit.
These shadows are gone to you now, Mr. Scrooge. You may return to them later tonight in your dreams. My time grows short. Ebenezer Scrooge, look you on me. Do you see how I've aged?
Your hair has gone gray. Your skin wrinkled. Are spirits' lives so short?
My stay upon this globe is very brief. It ends tonight.
Tonight?
At midnight. The time is drawing near.
Clock strikes 11:45.
Hear those chimes? In a quarter hour my life will have been spent. Look, Scrooge, man. Look you here.
Two gnarled baby dolls are taken from Present's skirts.
Who are they?
They are man's children, and they cling to me, appealing from their fathers. The boy is ignorance, the girl is want. Beware them both, and all of their degree, but most of all, beware this boy. For I see that written on his brow which is doom, unless the writing be erased.
He stretches out his arm. His voice is now amplified, loudly and oddly.
Have they no refuge or resource?
Are there no prisons? Are there no workhouses?
12 chimes.
Are there no prisons? Are there no workhouses?
A phantom, hooded, appears in dim light, downstage opposite.
Are there no prisons? Are there no workhouses?
Present begins to deliquesce. Scrooge calls after him.
Spirit, I'm frightened. Don't leave me. Spirit.
Prisons. Workhouses. Prisons. Workhouses.
He is gone. Scrooge is alone now with the phantom who is, of course, the ghost of Christmas future. The phantom is shrouded in black. Only its outstretched hand is visible from under his ghostly garment.
Who are you, phantom? Oh, yes, I think I know you. You are. Are you not the spirit of Christmas yet to come?
No reply.
And you are about to show me the shadows of the things that have not yet happened, but will happen in time before us. Is that not so, Spirit?
The phantom allows Scrooge a look at his face. No other reply wanted here. A nervous giggle here.
Oh, ghost of the future, I fear you more than any specter I have seen. But as I know that your purpose is to do me good, and as I hope to live to be another man from what I was, I am prepared to bear you company.
Future does not reply, but for a stiff arm, hand, and finger set, pointing forward.
Lead on, then. Lead on. The night is waning fast, and it is precious time to me. Lead on, Spirit.
Future moves away from Scrooge in the same rhythm and motion employed at its arrival. Scrooge falls into the same pattern, a considerable space apart from the spirit. In the space between them, Marley appears. He looks to Future and then to Scrooge. He claps his hands. Thunder and lightning. Three businessmen appear, spotlighted singularly. One is downstage left, one is downstage right, one is upstage center. Thus, 6 points of the stage should now be spotted in light. Marley will watch this scene from his position center stage. Scrooge and Future are right and left of center.
Oh, no, I don't know much about it either way. I only know he's dead.
When did he die?
Last night, I believe.
Why, what was the matter with him? I thought he'd never die, really.
Goodness knows, goodness knows.
What has he done with his money?
I haven't heard, have you?
Left it to his company, perhaps. Money to money, you know the expression.
He hasn't left it to me. That's all I know.
Nor to me.
Looks at second businessman.
You, then? You got his money?
Me? Me, his money? No.
It's likely to be a cheap funeral. For upon my life, I don't know of a living soul who'd care to venture to it. Suppose we make up a party and volunteer.
I don't mind going, if a lunch is provided. But I must be fed, if I make one.
Well, I am the most disinterested among you, for I never wear black gloves and I never eat lunch. But I'll offer to go, if anybody else will. When I come to think of it, I'm not all sure that I wasn't his most particular friend, for we used to stop and speak whenever we met. Well, then, bye-bye.
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 They glide off stage in three separate directions. Their lights follow them.
Spirit, why did you show me this? Why do you show me businessmen from my streets as they take the death of Jacob Marley? That is a thing past. You are future.
Jacob Marley laughs a long, deep laugh. There is a thunderclap and lightning flash, and he is gone. Scrooge faces Future alone on stage now. Future wordlessly stretches out his arm, hand, and finger set, pointing into the distance upstage. There above them, scoundrels fly by, half-dressed and slovenly. When this scene has passed, a woman enters the playing area. She is almost at once followed by a second woman, and then a man in faded black. And then, suddenly, an old man who smokes a pipe. The old man scares the other three. They laugh, anxious.
Look here, old Joe. Here's a chance, if we haven't all three met here without meaning it.
You couldn't have met in a better place. Come into the parlor. You were made free of it long ago, you know. And the other two ain't strangers.
He stands, shuts a door, shrieking.
We're all suitable to our calling. We're well matched. Come into the parlor. Come into the parlor.
They follow him downstage. Scrooge and Future are now in their midst, watching, silent. A truck comes in on which is set a small wall with fireplace and a screen of rags, etc. All props for the scene.
Let me just rake this fire over a bit.
He does. He trims his lamp with the stem of his pipe. The first woman throws a large bundle onto the floor. She sits beside it, cross-legged, defiantly.
What odds, then? What odds, Mrs. Dilber? Every person has a right to take care of themselves. He always did.
That's true indeed. No man more so.
Why, then, don't stand staring as if you was afraid, woman. Who's the wiser? We're not going to pick holes in each other's coats, I suppose.
No, indeed. We should hope not.
Very well, then. That's enough. Who's the worse for the loss of a few things like these? Not a dead man, I suppose.
No, indeed.
If he wanted to keep 'em after he was dead, the wicked old screw, why wasn't he natural in his lifetime? If he had been, he'd have had somebody to look after him when he was struck with death. Instead of lying, gasping out his last there, alone, by himself.
It's the truest word that was ever spoke. It's a judgment on him.
I wish it were a heavier one, and it should have been. You may depend on it, if I could have laid my hands on anything else. Open that bundle, old Joe, and let me know the value of it. Speak out plain. I'm not afraid to be the first, nor afraid for them to see it. We knew pretty well that we were helping ourselves before we met here, I believe. It's no sin. Open the bundle, Joe.
No, no, my dear. I won't think of letting you being the first to show what you've earned from this. I throw in mine.
He takes a bundle from his shoulder, turns it upside down, and empties its contents out onto the floor.
It's not very extensive, see? Seals, a pencil case. Sleeve buttons.
Nice sleeve buttons, though.
Not bad, not bad. A brooch there.
Not really valuable, I'm afraid.
How much, old Joe?
Writing on the wall with chalk.
A pitiful lot, really. 10 and 6, and not a sixpence more.
You're not serious.
That's your account, and I wouldn't give another sixpence if I was to be boiled for not doing it. Who's next?
Me!
Dumps out contents of her bundle.
Sheets, towels, silver spoons, silver sugar tongs, some boots.
Writing on wall.
I always give too much to the ladies. It's a weakness of mine, and that's the way I ruin myself. Here's your total coming up. £2.10. If you asked me for another penny and made it an open question, I'd repent of being so liberal and knock off half a crown.
And now do my bundle, Joe.
Kneeling to open knots on her bundle.
So many knots, madam.
He drags out large curtains, dark.
What do you call this? Bed curtains.
Yes, bed curtains.
You don't mean to say you took them down, rings and all, with him lying there?
Yes, I did. Why not?
You were born to make your fortune, and you'll certainly do it.
I certainly shan't hold my hand when I can get anything in it by reaching it out for the sake of such a man as he was, I promise you, Joe. Don't drop that lamp oil on those blankets now.
His blankets?
Whose else's do you think? He isn't likely to catch cold without 'em, I dare say.
I hope that he didn't die of anything catching, eh?
Don't you be afraid of that. I ain't so fond of his company that I'd loiter about him for such things if he did. Ah, you may look through that shirt till your eyes ache, but you won't find a hole in it nor a threadbare place. It's the best he had, and a fine one, too. They'd have wasted it if it hadn't been for me.
What do you mean they'd have wasted it?
Putting it on him to be buried in, to be sure. Somebody was fool enough to do it, but I took it off again.
She laughs, as do they all, nervously.
If calico ain't good enough for such a purpose, it isn't good enough then for anything. It's quite as becoming to the body. He can't look uglier than he did in that one.
A low-pitched moan emits from his mouth, from the bones.
£1.06 for the lot.
He produces a small flannel bag filled with money. He divvies it out. He continues to pass around the money as he speaks. All are laughing.
That's the end of it, you see. He frightened everyone away from him while he was alive to profit us when he was dead.
He screams at them.
Obscene demons! Why not market the corpse itself as sell its trimming?
Suddenly.
Oh, spirit, I see it, I see it. This unhappy man, this stripped bare corpse, could very well be my own. My life holds parallel. My life ends that way now.
Scrooge backs into something in the dark behind his spotlight. Scrooge looks at Future, who points to the corpse. Scrooge pulls back the blanket. The corpse is, of course, Scrooge, who screams. He falls aside the bed, weeping.
Spirit, this is a fearful place. In leaving it, I shall not leave its lesson. Trust me.
Let us go.
Future points to the corpse.
Spirit, let me see some tenderness connected with the death, or that dark chamber which we just left now, Spirit, will be forever present to me.
Future spreads his robes again. Thunder and lightning. Lights up upstage in the Cratchit home setting. Mrs. Cratchit and her daughters sewing. Off.
And he took a child and set him in the midst of them.
Looking about the room to Future.
Huh? Who spoke? Who said that?
Puts down her sewing.
The color hurts my eyes.
rubs her eyes.
That's better. My eyes grow weak sewing by candlelight. I shouldn't want to show your father weak eyes when he comes home. Not for the world. It must be near his time.
In corner, reading, looks up from book.
Past it, rather. But I think he's been walking a bit slower than usual these last few evenings, Mother.
I have known him walk with Tiny Tim upon his shoulder, and very fast indeed.
So have I, Mother. Often.
So have I.
But he was very light to carry, and his father loved him so that it was not trouble. No trouble.
Bob at door.
And there is your father at the door.
Bob Cratchit enters. He wears a comforter. He is cold, forlorn.
Father!
Hello, wife, children.
The daughter weeps, turns away from Cratchit.
Children, how good to see you all. And you, wife. And look at this sewing. I've no doubt with all your industry we'll have a quilt to set down upon our knees in church on Sunday.
You made the arrangements today, then, Robert, for the service to be on Sunday?
The funeral. Oh, well, yes. Yes, I did. I wish you could have gone. It would have done you good to see how green a place it is. But you'll see it often. I promised him that I would walk there on Sunday, after the service.
Suddenly...
My little child. My little child.
Hugging him.
Oh, Father.
Oh, Father.
He stands.
Forgive me. I saw Mr. Scrooge's nephew, who you know I'd just met once before, and he was so wonderful to me, wife. He is the most pleasant-spoken gentleman I've ever met. He said, I am heartily sorry for it, and heartily sorry for your good wife. If I can be of service to you in any way, here's where I live. And he gave me this card.
Let me see it.
And he looked me straight in the eye, wife, and said meaningfully, I pray you'll come to me, Mr. Cratchit, if you need some help. I pray you do. Now, it wasn't for the sake of anything that he might be able to do for us, so much as for his kind way. It seemed as if he had known our Tiny Tim and felt with us.
I'm sure that he's a good soul.
You would be surer of it, my dear, if you saw and spoke to him. I shouldn't be at all surprised if he got Peter a situation.
Only hear that, Peter.
And then Peter will be keeping company with someone and setting up for himself.
Get along with you.
It's just as likely as not, one of these days, though there's plenty of time for that, my dear. But however and whenever we part from one another, I am sure we shall none of us forget poor Tiny Tim, shall we? Or this first parting that was among us?
Never, Father, never!
And when we recollect how patient and mild he was, we shall not quarrel easily among ourselves, and forget poor Tiny Tim in doing it.
No, Father, never!
I am very happy. I am. I am very happy.
Bob kisses his little son, as does Mrs. Cratchit, as do the other children. The family is set now in one sculptural embrace. The lighting fades to a gentle pool of light, tight on them.
Spectre, something informs me that our parting moment is at hand. I know it, but I know not how I know it.
Future points to the other side of the stage. Lights out on Cratchit's. Future moves slowly, gliding. Scrooge follows. Future points opposite. Future leads Scrooge to a wall and a tombstone. He points to the stone.
Am I that man those ghoulish parasites so gloated over? Before I draw nearer to that stone to which you point, answer me one question. Are these the shadows of things that will be, or the shadows of things that may be only?
Future points to the gravestone. Marley appears in Lightwell upstage. He points to grave as well. Gravestone turns front and grows to 10 feet high. Words upon it, Ebenezer Scrooge. Much smoke billows now from the grave. Choral music here. Scrooge stands looking up at gravestone. Future does not at all reply in mortal's words, but points once more to the gravestone. The stone undulates and glows. Music plays, beckoning Scrooge. Scrooge reeling in terror.
Oh, no! Spirit! Oh, no! No!
Future's finger still pointing.
Spirit, hear me. I am not the man I was. I will not be the man I would have been but for this intercourse. Why show me this if I am past all hope?
Future considers Scrooge's logic. His hand wavers.
Oh, good spirit, I see by your wavering hand that your good nature intercedes for me and pities me. Assure me that I yet may change these shadows that you have shown me by an altered life.
Future's hand trembles. Pointing has stopped.
I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all the year. I will live in the past, the present, and the future. The spirits of all three shall strive within me. I will not shut out the lessons that they teach. Oh, tell me that I may sponge away the writing that is upon this stone.
Scrooge makes a desperate stab at grabbing Future's hand. He holds it firm for a moment, but Future, stronger than Scrooge, pulls away. Scrooge is on his knees, praying.
Spirit, dear spirit, I am praying before you. Give me a sign that all is possible. Give me a sign that all hope for me is not lost. Oh, spirit, kind spirit, I beseech thee, give me a sign.
Future deliquesces, slowly, gently. The phantom's hood and robe drop gracefully to the ground in a small heap. Music in. There is nothing in them. They are mortal cloth. The spirit is elsewhere. Scrooge has his sign. Scrooge is alone. Tableau. The lights fade to black.